Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill, the pastor of Providence Church, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. It's great to have you here with me for a Friday, September 10th, 2021. This is edition number 77 of season 4 of the Morning Devotional. We are working our way through the shorter catechism. We are in the middle of an exposition of the Sixth Commandment, dealing with the items that are forbidden in the Sixth Commandment, as given to us in question 69 of the Shorter Catechism and Larger Catechism, question 136. Let's pray together, and then we'll look at another item that is forbidden in this Sixth Commandment. Our Father, now as we come to your word, we come with the recognition that we are dependent creatures upon all that we do and all that we say. We pray that your word would illumine our minds and our hearts, that we would understand these most important things. Give us grace even now, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, Shorter Catechism question 69 again asks, what is forbidden in the Sixth Commandment? And the answer is that the Sixth Commandment forbiddeth the taking away of our own life, or the life of our neighbor unjustly, or whatsoever tendeth thereunto. In Larger Catechism, question 136 unpacks for us more specific details as pertains to what is forbidden. Now, yesterday we considered the fact that this commandment forbids the taking away the life of ourselves and others. But there are some exceptions to that. In the Larger Catechism, and the Westminster Divines was aware of these matters and penned the following words: except in case of public justice, lawful war, or necessary defense. We're going to briefly look at all three of these this morning as we consider this exception to the taking away of life. There are times when God would have us, and when it is lawful under God's law and his moral demands, to take the life of someone else. There are circumstances in which that is acceptable and does not violate the very command that we have been considering. This case of public justice is highlighted for us in Numbers 35. It's not the only place in which this matter is considered. It's a matter that I mentioned yesterday when we talked about the taking away of another life. But in Numbers 35, in verse 31 and 33, there we read, well, starting with verse 30, if anyone kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death on the evidence of witnesses, but no person shall be put to death on the testimony of one witness. Moreover, you shall accept no ransom for the life of a murderer who is guilty of death, but he shall be put to death. And you shall accept no ransom for him who has fled to his city of refuge, that he may return to dwell on the land before the death of the high priest. You shall not pollute the land in which you live, for blood pollutes the land, and no atonement can be made for the land for the blood that is shed in it, except by the blood of the one who shed it. Now, put very simply, this is talking about about capital punishment, the death penalty. This is about the response to one who takes the way of the life of another person. That in those situations, it is lawful, in fact, not merely lawful, but demanded, that life be forfeited by the taking away of his life. So in Genesis 9:6, a verse we looked at yesterday, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. And so we know that this is acceptable because and required because of the attack on the image of God that is offered by the murderer himself. And so that's the first exception. There are times of public justice. It's not the only time in the Bible that death is required under the Old Testament economy, but here we have that first exception of that what is forbidden is the taking away of a life, except for in this case here. There's another exception, and that is of course in the occasion of just war. Now, time does not afford me to go into great detail as to what I mean by just war. But put simply, a just war is the defense of one's own nation. A tyranny. It is not things that we saw in the days of World War I and World War II and other wars that have happened in the world, in which a nation invaded other nations unprovoked, sought to terrorize and harm other people. But it's talking about national defense. Now, we can get into a great deal of discussion about what that looks like, and as national defense, just sitting around waiting for someone to bomb our own cities, and then we can respond, is that just war? Is national defense going on the offensive first because we recognize the imminent threat that is there? Again, I'll leave others to debate those finer points, but the fact is that war was part and parcel of God's people of old. And they were commanded, of course, by divine revelation to take the land in which they've been promised. And we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 34, what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, and so forth. And so we know that God's people were told to eradicate the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, Amorites, and all those guys that we read of in the Old Testament. Of course, they had divine revelation. They had a divine command given to them by God. We don't have that today, and so there are principles that can be laid down that we might not break the sixth commandment by unlawful wars. And so if you'd like to do a further study on that, I'm sure there's plenty of material out there to read on this matter. But there is such a case of lawful war that does not break the sixth commandment. The final item is, again, one of controversy. I don't really know why, but it's that of necessary defense and defending oneself, one's home, one's family. If a thief breaks into your house, if a person breaks into your home in the middle of the night, they put themselves in harm's way. You have a right, God would expect you to defend yourself in situations in which your harm may be imminent. Exodus 22 and verse 2, there we read, just by way of an example, if a thief is found breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there shall be no blood guilt for him. That is to say, no death penalty. This is legitimate defense of one's domicile, one's home. And so it is completely legitimate, doesn't break the sixth commandment whatsoever. A man has a right to defend his home and to do so with reasonable force and to do so under right circumstance. And so these are three exceptions that are given to us by the larger catechism to help us understand further that there are certain times when the taking away of life is, in fact, warranted and not unlawful to do so. Times of public justice where the ones that are appointed by God, ministers of Him, Romans 13, agents of God who have been given the power to wield the sword, Romans 13 and verse 4, for he is God's servant. That's the civil magistrate. He is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. And so there may be times when the civil magistrate must, in fact, enforce God's law and take away the life of a murderer. And then lawful war and all of the controversy that surrounds that and how it looks, as well as self-defense or the necessary defense of one's own body from harm or from home, from one invading another's home. So three exceptions to ponder, to think through. May God give us clarity in these matters. If you'd like to contact me and offer comments or criticisms, inquiries, you can do so. The information is there before you on the screen. And so until Monday, when we continue looking at this sixth commandment, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he help you to walk with him this day. God bless.